The Synthesis of Yoga, Sri Aurobindo. Chapter 23, page 851, The Supramental Instruments, Thought Process. The reason, however, tends in the intellectual man to ignore the limitations of its power and function, and attempts to be not an instrument and agent, but a substitute for the self and spirit. Made confident by success and predominance, by the comparative greatness of its own light, it regards itself as a thing primary and absolute, assures itself of its own entire truth and sufficiency, and endeavors to become the absolute ruler of mind and life. This it cannot do successfully, because it depends on the lower life intuition and on the covert supermind and its intuitive messages for its own real substance and existence. It can only appear to itself to succeed because it reduces all its experience to rational formulas and blinds itself to half the real nature of the thought and action that is behind it and to the infinite deal that breaks out of its formulas. The excess of the reason only makes life artificial and rationally mechanical, deprives it of its spontaneity and vitality, and prevents the freedom and expansion of the spirit. The limited and limiting mental reason must make itself plastic and flexible, open itself to its source, receive the light from above, exceed itself and pass by an euthanasia of transformation into the body of the supramental reason. Meanwhile, it is given power and leading for an organization of thought and action on the characteristically human scale intermediate between the subconscious power of the spirit, organizing the life of the animal, and the superconscious power of the spirit, which, becoming conscient, can organize the existence and life of a spiritual supermanhood. The characteristic power of the reason in its fullness is a logical movement assuring itself, first, of all available materials and data by observation and arrangement, then acting upon them for a resultant knowledge gained, assured, and enlarged by a first use of the reflective powers, and lastly, assuring itself of the correctness of its results by a more careful and formal action, more vigilant, deliberate, severely logical, which tests, rejects, or confirms them according to certain secure standards and processes developed by reflection and experience. The first business of the logical reason is therefore a right, careful, and complete observation of its available material and data. The first and easiest field of data open to our knowledge is the world of nature, of the physical objects made external to it by the separative action of mind, things not ourself and therefore only indirectly knowable by an interpreting of our sense perceptions, by observation, accumulated experience, inference, and reflective thinking. Another field is our own internal being and its movements, which one knows naturally by an internally acting mental sense, by intuitive perception and constant experience, and by reflective thought on the evidences of our nature. The reason, with regard even to these inner movements, acts best and knows them most correctly by detaching itself and regarding them quite impersonally and objectively. A movement which in the yoga of knowledge ends in viewing our own active being too is not self, a mechanism of nature, like the rest of the world existence. The knowledge of other thinking and conscious beings stands between these two fields, but is gained too, indirectly, by observation, by experience, by various means of communication, and, acting on these, by reflection, an inference largely founded on analogy from our knowledge of our own nature. Another field of data, which the reason has to observe, is its own action, and the action of the whole human intelligence. For without that study, it cannot be assured of the correctness of its knowledge, or of right method and process. Finally, there are other fields of knowledge for which the data are not so easily available, and which need the development of abnormal faculties. The discovery of things and ranges of existence behind the appearances of the physical world, and the discovery of the secret self, or principle of being of man and of nature. The first the logical reason can attempt to deal with, accepting subject to its scrutiny whatever data become available, in the same way as it deals with the physical world. But ordinarily, it is little disposed to deal with them, finding it more easy to question and deny, and its action here is seldom assured or effective. The second, it usually attempts to discover, by a constructive metaphysical logic founded on its analytic and synthetic observation of the phenomena of life, mind, and matter. The operation of the logical reason is the same in all these fields of its data. At first, the intelligence amasses a store of observations, associations, percepts, recepts, concepts, makes a more or less obvious arrangement and classification of relations and of things according to their likenesses and differences, and works upon them by an accumulating store and a constant addition of ideas, memories, imaginations, judgments. These make up primarily the nature of activity of our knowledge. There is a kind of natural enlargement of this intelligent activity of the mind, progressing by its own momentum, an evolution aided more and more by a deliberate culture. The increase of faculties gained by the culture becoming in its turn a part of the nature as they settle into a more spontaneous action. The result, a progression not of the character and essential power of the intelligence, but of its degree of power, flexibility, variety of capacity, fineness. There is a correction of errors, an accumulating of assured ideas and judgments, a reception or formation of fresh knowledge. At the same time, a necessity arises for a more precise and assured action of the intelligence, which will get rid of the superficiality of this ordinary method of the intelligence, test every step, scrutinize severely every conclusion, and reduce the mind's action to a well-founded system and order. This movement develops the complete logical mind and raises to its acme the acuteness and power of the intelligence. The rougher and more superficial observation is replaced or supplemented by a scrutinizing analysis of all the process, properties, constituents, energies making up or related to the object, and a synthetic construction of it as a whole, which is added to, or in great part substituted, for the mind's natural conception of it. The object is more precisely distinguished from all others, and at the same time there is a completer discovery of its relation with others. There is a fixing of sameness or likeness and kinship, and also of divergences and differences resulting on one side in the perception of the fundamental unity of being and nature, and the similarity and continuity of their processes. On the other, in a clear precision and classification of different energies and kinds of beings and objects. The amassing and ordering of the materials and data of knowledge are carried to perfection as far as is possible to the logical intelligence. Memory is the indispensable aid of the mind to preserve its past observations. The memory of the individual, but also of the race, whether in the artificial form of accumulated records or the general race memory, preserving its gains with a sort of constant repetition and renewal and, an element not sufficiently appreciated, a latent memory that can, under the pressure of various kinds of stimulation, repeat, under new conditions, past movements of knowledge for judgment by the increased information and intelligence. The developed logical mind puts into order the action and resources of the human memory and trains it to make the utmost use of its materials. The human judgment naturally works on these materials in two ways: by a more or less rapid and summary combination of observation, inference, creative or critical conclusion, insight, immediate idea. This is largely an attempt of the mind to work in a spontaneous matter with the directness that can only be securely achieved by the higher faculty of the intuition. For in the mind it produces much false confidence and unreliable certitude, and a slower, but in the end intellectually surer seeking, considering and testing judgment that develops into the careful logical action. The memory and judgment are both aided by the imagination, which, as a function of knowledge, suggests possibilities not actually presented or justified by the other powers, and opens the doors to fresh vistas. The developed logical intelligence uses the imagination for suggesting new discovery and hypothesis, but is careful to test its suggestions fully by observation and a skeptical or scrupulous judgment. It insists, too, on testing, as far as may be, all the action of the judgment itself, rejects hasty inference in favor of an ordered system of deduction and induction, and makes sure of all its steps and of the justice, continuity, compatibility, cohesion of its conclusions. A too formalized logical mind discourages, but a free use of the whole action of the logical intelligence may rather heighten a certain action of immediate insight, the mind's nearest approach to the higher intuition, but it does not place on it an unqualified reliance. The endeavor of the logical reason is always by a detached, disinterested, and carefully founded method to get rid of error, of prejudgment, of the mind's false confidence, and arrive at reliable certitudes. And if this elaborated method of the mind were really sufficient for truth, there would be no need of any higher step in the evolution of knowledge. In fact, It increases the mind's hold on itself and on the world around it, and serves great and undeniable utilities. But it can never be sure whether its data is supplied with the frame of a real knowledge or only a frame useful and necessary for the human mind, for the human mind and will, in its own present form of action. It is more and more perceived that the knowledge of phenomena increases, but the knowledge of reality escapes this laborious process. A time must come, is already coming, when the mind perceives the necessity of calling to its aid and developing fully the intuition and all the great range of powers that lie concealed behind our vague use of the word and uncertain perception of its significance. In the end, it must discover that these powers can not only aid and complete, but even replace its own proper action. That will be the beginning of the discovery of the supramental energy of the spirit. The supermind, as we have seen, lifts up the action of the mental consciousness towards and into the intuition, creates an intermediate intuitive mentality, insufficient in itself, but greater in power than the logical intelligence, and then lifts up and transforms that too into the true supramental action. The first well-organized action of the supermind in the ascending order is the supramental reason, not a higher logical intellect, but a directly luminous organization of intimately subjective and intimately objective knowledge, the higher buddhi, the logical, or rather the logos vijnana. The supramental reason does all the work of the reasoning intelligence and does much more, but with a greater power and in a different fashion. It is then itself taken up into a higher range of the power of knowledge, and in that too nothing is lost, but all farther heightened, enlarged in scope, transformed in power of action. Pausing, top of page 856, the final portion of this chapter will be with the next reading.